My name is Ian Houston, and today is Thanksgiving 2017, and I'm speaking with my mother, and she is in Sunnyvale, California, and I am in Woodbridge, Virginia. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Yes. So, Mom, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Brimpton Spa, a small town in England. I was a very happy child because I had great parents and good siblings. I adored my sister Joan and my brother and other sister Jill. We had a very happy household.
Mm-hmm. So you tell me about where you grew up specifically, other than you grew up in Leamington Spa. Where specifically in Leamington?
Well, I was born in a small home and in Queen Street, and then when I was about 5, we moved into a public house named the Britannia Inn. And I think I was there 18 years in the public house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice people that used to come in, great customers, and it was a happy time. The war years, of course, went on when I was living there.
Yes.
And so we had blackouts but it was a good time besides being during the war.
So Nana, nice people. Nana always used to say that it wasn't just Leamington Spa, it was what? What was the full name?
Royal Leamington Spa.
And why was it Royal Leamington Spa? Why did it receive that designation?
Yes, because Queen Victoria
Queen Victoria?
Why don't we do this another day?
So it was Victoria. Tell me more about that. Why Victoria?
Why Victoria?
Mm-hmm. Why did it receive the royal title?
Because Victoria came to stay when she was 11 years old, I believe. And she enjoyed her visits. And then when she became queen, she decided to give the name Royal to the town. So we have a large statue of Queen Victoria outside Town Hall. I don't think that many monarchs stay overnight they visit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so. Of course, when they go travel abroad, they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that happened, but that's how it happened in Leamington.
Okay. Tell me about your parents and also what memories you have of your grandparents. First, your grandparents. What do you remember about your grandparents?
I don't really have too much memories of my grandparents. My father's mother, of course, I was born on her birthday. But she died when I was about 6, I think. And my mother's mother died when I was about 3. My grandfather on the other side, I think I was 12 when he died. I do remember him. He used to come in the pub every day. And I remember him. He was a very jovial man and serious, though. And I loved his garden, his roses. And before I knew him, he always used to say, I think Brenda should go on the stage. She loves to dance and laugh. And I always remember that, him saying that.
And he was the father of Grandpa?
No, he was the father of my mother.
Oh, so John Fawson.
John Fawson, yeah.
Yeah, I see. Well, that's a nice memory. That's nice that he said that about you.
Yeah.
I agree. There's still time for you.
Yes.
So tell me about then your parents, just their names, and just, it's hard to capture your feelings about them or your memories about them, but tell me their names and what do you remember about them?
My dad.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Edwards. My dad wasn't really around too much. I mean, he was around, but he never got involved with us that much. At first, when we were very young, he used to take us swimming, and that I remember. That's before we moved into the pub, and he used to take us swimming because he loved to swim, and he was very athletic. He played tennis and soccer and good swimming, so that's why we were involved in swimming.
Mm-hmm.
But after we moved to the pub, he really didn't get involved with us very much.
Mm-hmm.
He left it to my mother,
mm-hmm.
Agnes Vanetta, and she was the one that really raised us more. She was the one that came to the galas, the swimming galas. She was the one that went to the school. We had problems.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one that did most of the raising of us all.
And it's hard to, like I say, capture our feelings about Nana in even just a few sentences because it was so profound, the influence
yes.
she had on all of us. But if you were to describe her in a few words, how would you describe her? Like, what was her character? What was her personality?
She had a very strong character. Her personality, how can I say that? She loved people. She really did. And she was very giving and kind. And she never looked down on people, whatever jobs they had.
She did not look down on people, basically.
No, she did not look down on people. She was always ready to accept whatever job they had and whatever. If they were good people, that's what she really wanted out of people, to be good to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she taught us. She was a very determined person. She used to tell us, you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want, you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Always think about that.
Where was she born, Mom?
She was born in Leamington. No, she was born in Coventry, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was born in Coventry, I believe.
Coventry.
Yes. I don't know when she left Coventry, what age she was. But I know this much. Let me tell you. Her sister was 10 years older than her. And she went into service. When I say service, she went in as a maid
mm-hmm.
to a doctor and his wife.
Yes.
And when my mother became 14, her mother said, so what? So what kind of service would you like to go into? And she said, no, I'm not going to work for anyone. I'm not going to be a servant to anyone. I'm as good as they are.
That, I think that captures Nana well.
Yes. Definitely.
Do you know how Grandfather and Nana met? Do you know, like, what was it, through a church?
I'm not
church
sure.
Event,
I'm not quite sure how they met. I'm really not. They met when they were quite young.
Yeah.
Because they married quite young. I mean, my father was 21. She was 22, 23. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not quite sure how they met, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
I'm glad that worked out. So, can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life in Leamington, or even later on, but specifically about Leamington, one of the most difficult moments that you experienced?
Well, the first, this very emotional part of my life was when we had the bombing. We only had one bombing in Leamington, I think, that was really serious. And that was not supposed to be in Leamington. It was mostly Coventry. But some of the bombs did hit Leamington. And we all got under the table in the living room. And I was very scared. And Mom just said, we'll be okay. Don't worry. And I was very, very scared and wondered why this was happening. And
was completely dark in the home, and you were under the table?
Yes.
And were there air raid sirens going off?
Yes.
When that was happening?
Yeah.
Right. And did you hear the bombing? Do you remember? The actual explosions?
Yeah, we heard the bombing.
Yes.
It was a distance away.
Yes.
And I think there was about two bombs that landed in Leamington.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very, very, very scary.
Yes.
Sorry, to a child that never experienced anything like that in her life. She was.
Yes.
I was so happy and everything was great. And then all of a sudden, at that age, I was really very scared. But my mother was so strong that I always believed what she said, that nothing will happen, we'll be fine.
And do you remember that everyone was there under the table, you and Auntie Joan?
I don't remember my father. I remember
Auntie Joan and Auntie Jill.
Yes, we're all there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, that, all right, so that was a difficult moment. What about?
Yeah, that was the first difficult moment.
Mm-hmm.
And and of course, when I went to school, that was a very difficult moment. That was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I think we called it first grade then, in England. And that, I had a teacher that just slapped me across the face. And I'd never had that before in my life, being hit.
Do you remember circumstances of why she struck you?
Because I was talking to someone and in line, and she came up and just hit me across my face. And I couldn't understand why someone would do that, and I was terrified. And so I'd come home and I wouldn't go back to school, and I wouldn't tell my mother or father what happened. And they used to try and back me to school, and I would be screaming and crying, and I wouldn't go. And finally, they found out that she did it to another child, and this child told his parents, so that they found out. And then the principal of the school said to my mother, I will give her a doll in front of the whole school if she comes back. And he did that, and I went back, and I was very happy.
Mm.
But that was a very dramatic time in my life when I was about six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was very, very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes.
Yeah.
What about later on in your teenage years, like difficult moments for you, loss of family members or loss of your father?
Yeah, of course. It was hard when my brother went into the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard, mm-hmm. because we're all so fond of each other, and that was difficult. And then when my dad died, that was just something. I couldn't believe that would ever happen. He was sick every year with bronchitis,
mm-hmm.
and then forget. I went to the hospital with him in the ambulance. I'd come home for lunch. And Mom told me he was having to go to the hospital. So I went with him in the ambulance, and he was fine. He was talking and was fine. And then he died a few hours later in the hospital.
Hmm.
That was so, so terrible.
It was shocking to you.
Yeah, it was so shocking.
How old were you?
21. Mm-hmm.
What year was that? 1951? Maybe?
I was going to be 22 in February.
22, okay.
So it must have been, yeah.
All right.
He was 52.
So that was a very difficult moment, and then you were able
to... That was a very difficult moment.
Yes, you
and,
were able to overcome it.
But mother was strong, and she took over the pub.
Mm-hmm.
2 years with the help of all of us, mostly Joan.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years, she decided that we should leave.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't work for women.
Mm.
So we decided to sell what we had in the pub and move to an apartment, which was very nice, really nice place. And we enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother got a job at a shop, and we all seemed to be happy, and then she decided we should go to Canada.
Yes.
Out of the blue.
I remember that, you telling me about that, and
yeah.
I always thought when you were selling the items in the pub, one item that would be particularly special to have would be that table that you had that you all hid under during the bombing.
Yes.
I wonder where that table ended up.
I don't know. It's a great big table. It was made for us, I believe.
Yes.
And it was a big dining table, a wooden dining table.
But it's such a special story to... So I suspect that very table, even today, is out there somewhere.
Yes, probably.
Yes.
Yes.
Tell me about one or two people who you feel have had the largest influences on your life.
I think Joan started it out. Joan definitely in my younger years.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely was. Without her, I just would have been lost. She was always there for me, always.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I miss her so much.
Yes. Yeah. Well, She's okay. She definitely had an influence on me as well. So she had a lot of influence on a lot of people. So tell me about we're talking about those Leamington years, and then just moving to Toronto. But you met another person when you made that important move to Toronto, who had a big influence on your life.
And absolutely. I was going to get to him.
And tell me about him.
Yeah. What a man, yes. Right. I've never met anyone like him. And the first time I went out with him, it was just great. It was so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. It was a different kind of date somehow. I didn't really want to go, but I said I'd go. And then it was really nice. It was so comfortable and so nice, and I enjoyed him. It was a different kind of person I'd met. It's strange. I'd met a lot of guys, you know, in the past, but he was kind of different in a way. I felt so comfortable.
So, Alan Douglas Houston, a Glaswegian, a good Scotsman,
yes,
had come all of the way out from Glasgow to Toronto. You met him while he was working at where? Where was he working?
Avros.
The
Croft.
And you were working also at Avros?
Yes, I was working as a secretary at Avros, and he was an engineer.
Mm-hmm. And so the first date went nicely, and
strange thing about that was I wasn't going to work there. I had a job all planned out at a hospital.
Mm.
But I was in a car accident the weekend before I was to start. And I'd hurt myself. The accident, I'd hurt my nose, and I had a black eye, and so I decided I couldn't start the job. So I didn't start the job, and then when I went back a few days later to the hospital to start the job, they had given it to someone else because they thought I just wasn't going to come in. I thought I'd really refused it, and I was just so taken back. And so one of the guys that was in the accident with me, he worked at Avros, and he said, well, why don't you come over to Avros and see if there's a position there for you? So I went over to Avros, and they had a position opened for secretary in the engineering department.
Hmm.
So that's how I got, that's how it happened. And so if it hadn't been for that accident, I wouldn't never have met Alan Douglas Houston.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember feeling that you had not at this time? Of course, you had been in Leamington and spent so much time up into your 20s in England. When you met a Scotsman, did the accent itself attract you in any way to him, or was that nothing? Did you feel that it was interesting that he was Scottish?
To me, he didn't really have that strong Scottish accent, really. Not as strong as his brother. So I didn't really... No, I didn't... In fact, my brother had married a Scots woman, so I got to know the Scottish people.
Yes.
You know, the Scottish... I'd gone to Scotland for the wedding twice.
Yes.
And so it was kind of in the family, so to speak.
Yes.
So no,
I think you may have come to I've had many people tell me that Dad's accent was very thick and rich, where they almost
really
felt like, yes. And I think it's possible that we grew so accustomed to how he spoke. But I remember when I spoke to Uncle Bob or Uncle Bill, that, and as you say, particularly Uncle Bob seemed to have more of a thick accent, but he reminded me so much of Dad and just speaking with him. And so that
they were very close.
We just became so accustomed to hearing Dad, and then when others heard him, they could hear this Scottish accent.
And you know, I feel that the only way I really heard his accent was when he phoned me up, and over the phone I could hear the accent far more than I could hear when I was speaking to him face to face. That was strange.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So, Mom, what advice? So, young, married, at your teenage self, if you were to give advice to Brenda as a teenager or as an adult back in those years, what advice would you give to yourself from the perspective of being wiser and older and experienced more of life?
You know, as a teenager, as a young person, you know, I wouldn't have altered anything, really, because things seemed to be happy. I was very fortunate to have met so many nice people in my life as a young teenager. I met a very nice group of young men, and I belonged to the Old Levantonians Rug Club, and there were a great deal of great people there, and I really enjoyed belonging to that club. So that was a happy time. And
so no particular advice that you would give yourself as a young adult or a young married mother?
No. I'm glad. No. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. I was always eager to get married and have a family, and I'm glad I'm glad I didn't marry too young.
All right. And now you have two teenage granddaughters.
Yes, I know.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
It's very, yes, I know.
Mom, can you tell me one of your happiest memories? I remember you telling me one story about you were just simply walking by Jeffson Gardens.
Yes.
Jeffson Gardens.
Yeah, that came over me. I was coming home for lunch, as I always came home for lunch because I didn't work too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking through Woolworths store, actually. I always walk through Woolworths. And it just came over me. I am so happy. And that was before my father died, of course. And I was about 18, 19. And I thought, I am so happy. This is such a great life.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what contributed to that? What brought you to experience that emotion?
I had a good job. I had a good job. I was happy in the job. And I was happy at home.
Mm-hmm.
And things were great. Mm-hmm. Things were going, you know, I had a good social life. And I got everything I wanted, really.
Yes, not material.
It wasn't
material things that you had. It was just you felt like a happiness of right. And do you think back to the advice question, do you think that maybe happiness is not about material wealth? It's not about it's about like a contentment unrelated to accumulating wealth and things like that. It's just having good people, friends in your life. And,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Having good friends is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I loved living in Leamington. And
And now you have the you have the park bench there.
Yes.
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 Do you remind that's name that has your name and all the family members?
So yes, I used to walk through that park when I was a little girl, going to my brownies, when I was a brownie, and I had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to walk through that park. That was a great time. Mm-hmm.
Mom, can you tell me about some of the most important lessons that you've learned in life? The lessons that you've learned as we've talked about your experiences and losing people who are very close to you, moving from places that you just had such wonderful memories. You moved from Leamington and then Toronto, but eventually to the San Francisco Bay Area, and you've had a long life. What do you feel are the lessons that you've learned in your life as you've interacted with people and experienced the ups and downs of life? What are the lessons?
How can I say it? When I moved, you move and you have to start over. And you have to begin in a different place and just accept it. And you always go back to your memories and think of those. But you have to go on with what you have. And try and make the best of it, so to speak.
Do you feel that on the issue of how we treat one another, what sort of lessons have you learned there in terms of
try to understand the other person?
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that you should listen, not to get angry. I've learned in life that sometimes you're not the one that's right. So try and listen. Mm-hmm. Be very, try and listen to that other person before you feel that you're the one that is right. I wish that I'd learned that earlier in life.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say, it's so important in married life to listen to each other before you come to a decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's this being Thanksgiving, what are you?
Oh yeah.
Yes. What are you most grateful for?
Having met your father.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's done for me in my later life. Mm-hmm. Secured it.
Mm-hmm.
Given me the security I never thought I would have. I stood in my living room yesterday and looked out and thought, this is all mine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that I've got all this. When I was a little girl, I would never have thought that I would have this beautiful home and and be so secure in my late life. So having met your father, that is the most wonderful thing I ever did.
And I know there are so many things that you are grateful for.
I'm grateful for my parents, of course, and my children.
And the health. Yes.
I'm so grateful for the health. There's so many sadness in the world and tragedies. I'm grateful that we're all healthy.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's good. I'll agree with that. I think Dad would certainly something, when asked about what I'm most grateful for, Dad definitely would be there for me as well, among many other people, including you and Joe and the kids.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would want to tell me specifically, now that you've never told me before? Is there anything that you have, just any memory or thought that you haven't told me about before that you would like to?
You know, it's funny to say that. I always think of the memory of one memory of you. They're building on to the house in Knickerbocker now.
Mm-hmm.
They're building on the front. And I always remember holding you when you were a baby and looking out of the window in the front, the bedroom. I was thinking that as I drove past the other day, standing there looking out at the rain. And you were a baby, and I was talking to you. And then, why I remember this is that you had a seizure. And I was so scared. And that's why I always remember that. And that's when I had to take you to the hospital. It was pretty bad at that moment. But then you came out of it okay. Touch. Everything worked out fine. But that memory of you, Glenn was at school, and Neil was playing with his friend, and you were a baby.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but you were such a cute baby. Yeah. But they are, as I say, they are. Every time I think about that is because that window was in the front, you know, the bedroom. And there's that building on now. That front.
Oh, I see. It's sort of, you have that memory of connection.
So that's why that memory came back again. Nice. And, when I passed the house.
And then Lee came later, and then we moved from Knickerbocker.
Yeah, Lee wasn't born there. Yeah. Lee was born in Groton Court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. Well, I'm sure that was, I wonder why that even happened, and it happened several times, so sorry about that. I probably created a lot of stress for you.
It was due to the chicken pox it started out with.
I see.
Yeah, and it went on for about a year, and we just had to watch her.
Mom,
things worked out fine.
Mom, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I don't know. How would I like to be remembered?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm a person that loved her children so much. Tried to give them everything that she could. Tried to be kind to people as much as I can. I have been. I don't know.
Well, that's important. That's how I think you will be remembered.
Yeah.
From all those days, all the way back to Leamington, and and now, and so that's important. Just
yeah.
You just keep thinking about that, like how you wish to be remembered.
I've had a good life.
Yep.
A wonderful life. And I've got no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes. I came into the world happy, and I go out of the world happy.
Yes. And you'll go on to the next experience.
I hope so.
Yes, you will. So what are your hopes and wishes for your children, although, you know, your children, of course, are older now, but
yeah,
but also your grandchildren.
And
Jolene, your daughter and sister, your daughter-in-law, Jolene, and son-in-law, John, and Glenn, Neil, myself, and Lee, and let's see, Emma, Jack.
Well, right.
Aiden,
Grace,
right,
and all of you.
Yeah.
All of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of you that we've created, so to speak.
Yeah. What are your hopes?
Well, I just hope they have the happy life that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope for them. I hope they meet, which I think you have already and Jet Li has. And I know that Glenn and Neil are not married, but I think Neil is doing very well with his job, and mm-hmm. Glenn seems to be a better person now mm-hmm. than he ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm leaving. I will be leaving them. I think this in a happy time of their lives, and for my grandchildren, I just hope they do meet. I'm sure they will. They're good people themselves, so I'm sure they will meet good people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the family will keep growing.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I hope that I'm able to look down on you all.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's a possibility.
So
I will.
Yes.
If I can.
So, Mom, let me just here at the end of our talking express for you just in a few moments about what you mean to me, just so you're able to hear that from me here just in the last uh-huh. couple of minutes, that
uh-huh.
you said about how you saw yourself when you were a little girl, happy, full of uh-huh. life, and that uh-huh. your grandfather said that you should be up on a stage somewhere one day. So I've always seen you that way. I've always seen you as full of life and energy, and really draw people to you. And I think you are now in these last years of your life, you are a kind person, and you will be remembered that way. And I will make a commitment to remember you that way. And I love you so much, Mom. So thank you for just being a good example to me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You've made it a wonderful Thanksgiving Day. Thank you.
Yes, I'm very thankful for my mother.
Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. And I'm thank you for you and your family. And Jolene.
Yes. All right. Well, we love you. And
okay.
We will
okay.
talk again soon. Take
okay,
care.
Okay, dear.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye, dear. Bye. Bye.